Well, welcome Jen and Anne, the famous faces behind the Hot Tomato Pizzeria in Fruta, Colorado. I wanted to bring you guys on today to get a sense of what it is like for a business that is based on the idea of being a community gathering place to go through something like this shutdown that we've experienced with the COVID-19. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I feel like we can speak to that a lot.
Yeah. It's so weird having an empty dining room. Yeah, I think we can both add some input on this. Something that we just talked about yesterday with our management meeting is that we can talk about the perks and the negatives in terms of the transition from having people in our doors to not. And one of the positives has been that it's actually been expressed with our staff that they have more time to interact together. And it's solidified some of their relationships because they've actually had the ability to get to know each other a little bit better. Whereas normally you're so busy with just getting the task complete that hangout time is pretty rare. So that's been one positive from this experience that a lot of our staff has expressed.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, there's a front of the house and there's a back of the house.
Yeah.
And now we're just all in the house and we're just doing whatever we need to do.
Yeah.
And so the staff is really, they've really been like, I don't know, keen on that. They're just like, wow, you know, I'm getting to know this person a little bit better and, you know, doing this and talking about that, like things that they didn't really know was happening. And I think in the old days of the tomato, it was a lot more like that. And as we've grown and as more people have flocked to Fruta in the Grand Valley, that has kind of gone away a little bit. And that's always been something I know for me as kind of like, oops, sorry.
That's okay.
For me as kind of like the face of the tomato for so many years, like that's always been a really important piece to me to be able to connect people from my staff to the customers that come in the door. And I feel like as our growth has happened over the years, we've kind of gotten a little bit away from that because we just are trying to, like Anne said, get the task done, get the pie to the table. And now I feel like there's just, we're coming back around to the way it used to be. And honestly, it feels pretty good. The dining room being empty does not feel good.
Yeah, no, it's kind of like, it's like when you're watching a football game in a really crowded bar and you're like all crammed in and yelling at the same time and how fun that is. That's kind of like the Hot Tomato on any given day.
Yes.
Versus like watching it by yourself in your living room and you're kind of like, what do I do? We're all doing a lot of that right now. So we definitely miss the excitement and the noise and the humanity that's in our dining room at any given time. So that's sad, but we know it'll come back. So we're just, we're trying to enjoy the positives, which is the staff getting to know each other more.
Yeah.
So it's not isolation for your staff then. It's actually kind of the opposite of what everybody else is experiencing.
Truly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit different because, you know, you're working a little bit further apart from each other and there's not as many people on any given day. But when you are on, it's like, I don't know, there's that camaraderie. And I think too, the other piece that's happening with that is, you know, we're being called to like rise above right now. And I think for all the staff, they're all just really feeling like what they're doing really has value and means a lot to this community. And I think seeing that has been really cool too.
We go back to, I guess it was probably the middle of March and the word of this impending shutdown is coming. Can you give us a window into the thoughts and the discussions that were going on behind the scenes? I mean, this is just completely unprecedented. I can't imagine what the conversations are that are going on. I mean, you're facing shutting down your business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think the hardest thing was that new information was coming in by the minute. And that's a pretty uncomfortable place to be in as a business. You know, we like to long range plan. We like to go into our day to day just having the knowledge that we're pretty solid on what we're doing, and to wake up in the morning and just watch the headlines change with no real clear understanding of how that was going to affect us, and then needing to, if not act immediately, at least talk about acting immediately. I mean, it was kind of relentless for the first, like, say, 3 to 4 weeks of just trying to figure this out, just because there was everything was changing by the minute.
I remember early on we had an all staff meeting, and it was before we were being told to wear a mask and before we were telling us to be apart and all these things, but we just called everybody together. And I mean, we were really honest. We were like, we don't really know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't really have answers for you guys. We're here to support you however we can. And we're going to do, you know, what do you guys want? Like, if this goes this way versus if it goes that way, what do you guys want? And the group consensus was, I think the first week it was like 90% negative. Like, nobody wanted, like, none of us. I mean, myself included, I was like, do we just shut the doors and just like sit tight for a minute? And then we did it, you know, we were still open, but it was weird. And we didn't have a lot of staff because a lot of people wanted to just stay home for a minute, and which was totally fine. And then it went, like, the next week it was like 50-50. And then that week people were like, please don't shut the doors. Like, we'll take pay cuts, we'll take cut hours, like, whatever we need to do. But, and this is when everybody started shutting down, and they were like, don't make us stay at home. And then by like week 3, I think it was, you know, probably 90% positive. There are a couple of employees who have people in their world that might have a compromised immune system, and they were a little uncertain about that. And we were just like, you guys just do whatever you need to do. We got you. And so we stayed open. And from then, I think, you know, it just kind of escalated from there. Like, I think people, from what the information we're getting from our team, they're really excited that we're open, and that, like I said earlier, they feel like they're doing something really good for the community, and they're willing to be there, which has been really cool.
How is it in terms of working with the health department? Do you guys have access? I mean, can you consult with them? How does that, because you've got to keep yourselves safe. You have to keep your employees safe. And then you also have to think about the customers, because our knowledge of this virus is changing all the time. And obviously you want to keep everybody safe. So how does that work for you being a restaurant? Do you have that access?
I don't envy the position of the health department right now. I know that they're getting everything from all the angles. And I think they're probably just trying to stay afloat. I think, to be honest, we've been getting most of our information from other sources, be it national news headlines, be it Googling scientific articles.
Other restaurants too.
Yeah, like other restaurants.
We've been on an email thread with a handful of other, more than a handful, other restaurateurs in town, where we're all sharing ideas and what are you doing this, or what are you doing that, or what are you doing for this? And that's been really helpful as well.
Yeah, I think we've been following state guidelines more regularly. I think just local health departments are just kind of struggling to stay afloat right now and to disseminate all the information that they're getting and get that out in an appropriate manner. But it hasn't been our number one source.
And you said that obviously things are going pretty well, so it doesn't seem like customers are concerned about food safety at all. Or have you heard any feedback from people that are concerned, that want to know more about what you're doing in-house to, you know, keep everything safe?
Yeah, I think we've done a really good job with just kind of getting it out on social media of what we're doing. And, you know, I don't know if you've been in, but, you know, we're still doing all to go, but you come in to pick it up. We didn't feel comfortable with going out to people's cars, because again, that's like, customers weren't comfortable with that and staff wasn't comfortable with that. So we put a hand wash system in at the Hot Tomato, where you come up the ramp and there's marks where we're asking people to stay 6 feet apart. And so we've created our own little system. And I think the people that are, I would say, highly concerned, I think that makes them feel more comfortable. I think the people that aren't as concerned, they're willing to, like, you know, move with that and be okay with it, which is really great for us. And we're just trying, as an organization, just trying to keep everybody comfortable. Whether, I mean, there's people that don't believe this is real, right? It's just whatever your belief is. I mean, We want people to be able to come in and feel comfortable either way.
Have you guys been able to take advantage of any of the stimulus money that's out there? Have you applied for any of that, or do you find that not necessary?
We tried right at the beginning and just missed the cutoff and still haven't seen anything.
But we're supposedly in the queue.
Yeah.
And that, you know, again, like not as business owners, not knowing what could come around the next corner. Like I think in the beginning we were kind of like, oh, I don't think any of us wanted to believe it was going to be what it is now. Right. So it's like, oh, well, we'll be fine. We'll be okay. We can do this to go. But now like we're seeing other things popping up, like the difficulty in getting ingredients and things that might play into the bigger picture down the road. And then we go, uh-oh, we might need to use that money. So I'm glad we're in the queue. We've not secured any of it yet, but fingers crossed it'll be there in case we do need it. Mm-hmm.
So now that we're under safer at home, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that the governor has said that restaurants can open up their dining spaces, but at a reduced capacity. Now, I know that restaurant profit margins are pretty thin. So what are your thoughts on that? Are most restaurants going to be able to make it? Operating at a reduced capacity?
Yeah. So right now the capacity, and that is also county by county, not just a state directive. And so Mesa County had applied for the variance from the state directives and was granted the ability for restaurants to open up at a 30% capacity. And part of the conversation is restaurant margins and trying to make that work on 30%. I think definitely for the restaurants for higher end fine dining, that's I'm sure a really, really difficult position to be in with that limited capacity. For us, the larger narrative is that when we transition to a takeout only model, there's a lot of moving parts that needed to be addressed in order to do that. And it did require pretty substantial modifications of our current systems in place, and that took precedent. And so trying to do that at the capacity that we're doing with 100% takeout and then allow 30% of people in our dining room, it's really a feasibility standpoint. It would take more work to do that than to just continue with takeout only. And we've been talking about this as a leadership team. I think the magic number is when we get up to about 75-80% capacity, where that's allowable, then that becomes a valid conversation. But I think for us, at least, anything below that, it throws a whole new element into the system that honestly we're not prepared to try to handle.
Yeah, because you guys had decided that you're still going with the takeout model, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you haven't opened up at all. Right. One question I did have that was kind of interesting when this all came down, that the governor did allow for alcohol.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Yes.
So, I know a lot of restaurants, that's where they make a lot of their money is on the alcohol. So did you find that helpful that was an option? Are you guys taking advantage of that? What was that? I missed that.
I think we found it scary.
Oh,
I mean, it's great because when this all happened, you know, Fruta, like tourism is booming these 2 months, right? April and May is just insane. So our coolers were full of beer. And we were watching, you know, closely at the expiration dates, right? You're just oh no. Mm-hmm. So when that happened, I mean, we're not selling a ton of beer by any means, but it does, I mean, every bit helps at this point, right? If someone wants to walk in and have a beer and a slice and they can take it to the park or in their car or wherever they want to go, that's great. But it is very strange. Like we've trained our staff and ourselves to just be so mindful of that, you know, no more than X amount of drinks. And now it's like, oh, free for all, let's get in our cars. Yeah.
It is the Wild West right now with alcohol. It is so bizarre. And it goes against every single grain in our body to allow alcohol to go out the door with the knowledge that someone's going to walk out in the street. And, You know, you had put like a little piece of paper on it and tape it up. What people do is they immediately walk out in the street and tear that off and start drinking their beer.
Yeah.
And it's not a problem.
Yeah.
But up until now, like, it has been our
problem.
It's always
been our problem.
So we've been so diligent with our it's so weird to just have a free-for-all.
I hadn't really thought of that, but you're right. Yeah, that would be pretty scary. What about the dip in tourism? Because you guys get a ton of tourists and bikers through your door. We have, I think, Mike the Headless Chicken now is done. The Fat Tire Festival. Mm-hmm. That bike is done.
Yeah.
How has that affected you guys?
Like I said, we're 50% down in our sales. Mm. We are still seeing a ton of tourism. I'm not going to lie. I mean, people are still coming, and that's a slippery slope, right? It's definitely tricky because you want to be happy about everybody walking in your door, but you also know that there's this thing going on and you want people to be a little bit more respectful. So, it's definitely down. But you know, the other piece I think for us is we have a large community, mm-hmm. and the community needs us right now more than the tourism needs us right now. You know, the people that are home, that are struggling to get food at the grocery store, that are struggling to, you know, there's a lot of people that don't cook. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's just like, we're there for them. And for us, that's been really hard. There was a Saturday night, like, I think it was like two Saturdays ago, we took over 300 phone calls in about a 4-hour period. And it's just like, holy crap, who are all these people? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you want to welcome everything, but on the same hand, it's like the locals now can't get what they want or what they may need. And so that becomes tricky. And we're just trying not to give everybody the stink eye, but it definitely gets tricky. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's got to be hard for you guys too, because you've been so involved in doing fundraisers and supporting other organizations through your business. And now, you know, that's gone for the foreseeable future anyway. Yeah. I mean, that's got to be hard for you as well.
Yeah, that's really hard. We just were talking about that the other day. Like, now that things are getting a little more settled, what are some things that we can do locally to help people that might need some help? So we're definitely looking at that, because that is a huge part of I think one of the reasons why we have become so successful and such a light for this community.
Absolutely. So how do you see this situation changing your operations, both in the short term and the long term? Because you've mentioned some positives about what's been going on. How do you think that's going to make you reevaluate when we get to a point when you do open things up? Do you see any changes both for you as the Hot Tomato, but also for the restaurant business as a whole?
Yes.
Yes. One of the things that's been really instrumental for us during this time is having the ability to step back our pace a bit. And I'm pretty cautious about saying this, because I realize that this very much comes from a position of privilege of being able to keep our doors open, and we're not struggling right now. And that's not the case for everybody out there. And there's a lot of businesses that I believe will possibly go under if this continues to drag on. So for us, I think, you know, we've been in business now for 15 years, and definitely the last 5 years, we have moments where it very much feels unsustainable at the pace that we've gotten to. And we're counter service, and so we don't have the ability to have wait staff to slow the flow into our building, because that's one of the number one reasons why restaurants have wait staff. So we've always just kind of had this experience of just more people coming in the doors and more people coming in the doors. And that's a wonderful problem to have. But being able to step out of that has given us the perspective that there is a threshold that we've crossed several years ago, where it stopped on those really busy days. It stopped feeling fun. Mm. And we want that back, because we've lost some of the ability to interact with our regulars, and we've lost the ability to take as much time and care on orders as we normally would like to. And so this perspective has been pretty refreshing, because it's been a conversation that we've been having for the last few years, but we've been forced into the position of experiencing what it would feel like. And in a lot of elements, it actually feels pretty good to be slow. So that's something that we're going to carry forward. I don't know entirely what that looks like yet, but we've been beginning those conversations with our leadership team.
It's been really cool too, because everybody is really on that page. Like, how do we make the guest experience better?
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, right now it has felt over the last few years, it's just felt like this get them in, get them out. You know, as you know, from living here and being a part of this from the day one, you know, we don't have music on the back patio anymore, and we're not having as many fundraisers anymore. And like all those things that really made us who we are have been like kind of canned, because we just can't handle the people. And I've been noticing over the last, you know, through all this process, I've been noticing just how much better the whole environment feels, from like when you walk in the door as a staff member to watching the pies being made. I mean, like the pizza makers are really enjoying the craft and like putting their heart and soul into it. You're seeing pies come out of the oven and they're baked perfectly, where before, you know, you put 100 pies in the oven over an hour, you're going to get a lot of inconsistencies. So we're seeing this shift in the opportunity of things that could be a lot better. And I'm really proud of the team that we're all not we, Ann and I start talking about it, and then we bring it up in a meeting and everybody's on it. They're like, yeah, I noticed that. And like slicing of the cheese is so much better, and this and that, and our waste numbers are less. And like, everyone's really excited about that. And honestly, I mean, as far as if you look at pizza to pizza, we're still in the course of a week selling just about the same amount of pizza as we were this time last year. It's just the numbers are different because you don't have all the other stuff. But pizza to pizza, we're pretty close, which is kind of surprising. But I think the quality of the food that's coming out and the energy of everybody in there, I think in the bigger picture, it's just creating a much healthier environment.
You know, I have to wonder too, what the potential change in expectation from the customer standpoint is going to be after this experience. I was listening to a podcast the other day. It wasn't mine, but they were interviewing the CEO of Shake Shack, who of course, you know, was well known for taking that stimulus money, which he then gave back. But he was talking a lot about how he thinks that both the serving experience, but also the dining experience is going to change, and what people want from a dining experience is going to change. So it'll be interesting to see how the things that you guys are kind of working through, how that might even coalesce with what changes are coming from the customer side too.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's Danny Meyer restaurants are all in New York City. And so, well, with the exception of Shake Shack, and I think that that's a different environment, and I think they're going to be driven by different realities than we are. There's this part of me, this positive part of me, that thinks that this is going to help change the customer service for environment for the better, and in staff care for the better. And then there's this also this part of me that's noticed that since the stay-at-home orders were lifted, which I don't think people read a ton of fine print always. I think this given is like, oh, it's back to normal.
Yeah.
There is also this part of me that wonders if it's going to just go exactly back to normal.
Yep.
So I think to be determined on that one, but I mean, I hope, you know, I know for us, it's going to inspire some changes that we feel have been long needed, but I don't know as a whole, as an industry whole, I think it's going to be interesting to see what the next year brings.
Well, his point too, which I thought was interesting, was, you know, how do you welcome people into, you know, a restaurant or an experience when you have staff wearing masks and you're asking them if you can take, you know, and asking to take their temperature.
You know? Right. Yeah. I know. I know.
It presents a lot of, a lot of difficult questions, I think. Hopefully we'll have a treatment or a vaccine or something. Right. But that's pretty tough.
I don't really want to take people's temperatures. No. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, that's such a good point because restaurants are all, there's such this nuance of like touch and feel that goes along with service and gatherings, places like that. And to not be able to see if someone behind a mask is smiling at you or to not be able to read their facial expressions, there's going to be something lost in the transaction between guest and staff. And that is going to be bizarre. And that's partly why with the exception to order or to open at 30%, there are other stipulations that go along with it. And it makes the experience feel sort of weird. Yeah. And that's kind of driven partly our decision to not go down that path is, I can't imagine taking someone's temperature. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. and I think the other point that I would like to make too is like, there's been definitely some stuff like on our social media where people have used the word that scared has come up. And I don't think that we're scared. Mm-hmm. I think maybe in the beginning ever, I was definitely a little like uncertain about what's going on, but it's just like, we are here to provide a guest experience.
Right.
And we're not going to open at 30% because there's no guest experience. Mm-hmm. So I want to be clear on that. Like, it's not like we're not opening because we're afraid. It's more of, we're not opening because it's going to suck.
Feel like a library in there.
That is
three tables.
Totally. I mean, that is not our style. And that is not our thing. And it's just like, if we can give a great experience to the customer who's taking it home and they're going to open up that pizza box and it's going to look and taste and feel like it did when they're sitting in the hot tomato, then we did our job. Mm-hmm. Right? We gave that experience to them. And I don't want to do it any other way. And I hope that people understand that and support us in that. We just, we want you guys to go home and, like, as you said the other day, like, get your pizza and Netflix for a couple hours, right? Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. I know this isn't going to be forever.
And you guys want to be able to provide the experience. It's not just about, now we can get more people in the door. We can bring more money in.
That's not it.
Right.
Yeah. It's that. Until we can provide the experience for you that we want to, is at what we feel is our standard, then we're not going to do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you guys are so community oriented. Before I let you go, if you, can say anything to the community, not just about supporting you, because obviously they still are supporting you. What would you hope that the community will be doing in the next weeks, months, just to keep things thriving? What would you say to people about what they should be doing during this time to help, keep things going as a community?
I think for me, I would just like people to continue to have hope for what's coming, but also to be kind to each other. Why we're in this. Mm-hmm. Because we all have different perceptions of everything in life, right? And it's just like, just be mindful, be kind, be caring. And I think if we do that, I think that we're definitely going to get to the other side of this much easier. Mm-hmm. You hear a lot, people finger pointing and this and shaming people because they have a mask or because they don't have a mask or, it doesn't matter. Just be kind and be supportive and help people out. And I think that's what gives me hope, especially living in this community.
Yeah, I would definitely say that as well. Respect. I just read something recently and it was, going around social media, but the phrase that I really liked is that we're not in the same boat. Mm. We're in different boats in the same storm.
Right.
And I'm trying to keep that perspective because, we're fortunate going through this. We're okay. we're a business, our doors are open, albeit at a much lesser level, but we're going to make it through. We have a business that's been around for 15 years now. I'm not worried about closing, but I'm trying to just keep the perspective that not everyone is in the position that we're in, and respect policies that might keep people safe, respect social distancing, respect wearing masks, or respect the decisions that other people are making, even if I might not disagree with them.
Right.
That's kind of what I'd like to see more people do right now.
Well, it was great to talk to you guys. Is there anything else you want to add before we close up here?
Thank you.
Thanks, Gretchen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, and good luck to you guys. And you know what? I have to order a pizza.
Yes.
I know what I'm having for dinner tonight.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Take care. And we look forward to the day when you guys can open your doors and we can all come in and sit down and have a communal experience.
Yes.
The way you guys intended when you opened up.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Have a great day. Be well. Bye.
Crossing the Divide, a voice for the Intermountain West.